Before we start the year-end edition of Turnbuckle Trash, we at Turnbuckle Trash would like to send our condolences to the family and friends of Don West. Don West was a commentator, on-air talent for TNA Impact for several years. In 2002, Don West was hired by Jeff Jarrett to be part of the TNA wrestling family. He was on the air with Mike Tenay for several years and even became a heel announcer. Don West, a commentator for TNA and Impact Wrestling, died at the age of 59. He was suffering from cancer. And now for Don West, the 10 bells.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, moms, dads, puppy dogs of all ages, time once again for Turnbuckle Trash, and the original Trashhead joins us in beautiful North Carolina. How you doing, Chris?
It is a wet, rainy day here in Statesville, North Carolina, but let's break off the brand new year with a new edition of Turnbuckle Trash, and let's see if we can feel a little oozy.
I hope we can feel oozy.
Yeah. I think that was the moment of the year right there was oozy.
So what we're going to do today, we're going to kind of look back, not at the entire year, but some of our favorite things that happened in the year. So we got a lot to talk about. Here's what we're going to line up today. Chris and I are going to talk for a few minutes about some of the things he thought about in 2022, and I'll throw in some thoughts there too. Then we have a segment we used to call the butt fumble, but a lot of people now don't really realize what the butt fumble was. It's basically bloopers, okay?
Love it. Was bloopers all the time.
Yeah, you love that segment though.
Oh, I just love it every year. We get to go back and listen to what we did, and sometimes it's real funny because we don't believe that it happened until you go back and listen. It's a lot of fun to do, and the year is ended, and let's do a little butt fumble again or a Russell fumble. It's a lot of fun. We have a blast.
Yeah, and it's segments that I pick out that where we're being silly and kind of weird, and maybe we make a big mistake, and you know, we kind of go from there. We'll do that in two different segments today. Chris and I, then the bloopers segment. Zane and I, and then bloopers two. Chris and I will be back, and then hopefully something a little special right before we end things up with Zane. So this podcast probably will be going up around 2 hours for today. But last Friday on Rampage, a young man made his debut on Rampage against Kip Sabian, and that was a wrestler that has done some work at DCW and over in Colorado with Bruce Wayne, part of the Black Horseman, Atiba. He took on Kip Sabian in a match on Rampage. Just saw that this morning. I kind of delayed my watching of Rampage. And the MK Bandit is going to be in Los Angeles for the Rose Bowl. Now, MK, real name Matthew, and he is just one busy man. But also part of his life is he's a huge University of Utah fan in sports, and he helps out with the radio broadcast on ESPN 700. So we wish MK and the Utes the Rose Bowl. Hope we get the victory against that. I'm rooting for the Utes. Now, I'm sure most of you will be listening after the Rose Bowl, but I wanted to say MK is part of that. Also, I wanted to say that coming soon, hopefully later this month or early next month, we're going to be talking to a man named Tim Beck. Tim, you know Tim, and you kind of helped us hook up a little bit. He's a big wrestling collector, collects wrestling autographs, and he's got some great ones. And we're going to talk about his collecting of those autographs and also hopefully other things about professional wrestling with him. As we look back at 2022, what kind of impressions did you have for that past year?
Well, I mean, like I said in one of my posts that I put on the Turnbuckle Trash page, Cena, just for men.
Now, explain it.
Yeah,
explain it.
Right. Okay, well, John Cena was on SmackDown, and I guess a fan took a picture of him, and on the back of his head, he's losing his hair. I wouldn't doubt it. I mean, and he's getting a little flabby. I guess he's not hitting the gym like he used to, but I put it on Turnbuckle Trash that, you know, John Cena, please, just for men, Rogaine. And then somebody on the Turnbuckle Trash page that will go nameless, freshly squeezed, or, you know, not freshly squeezed, but Manny Lemons,
yep.
Let's see your hair. Manny, yeah. Really? And then you chimed
me?
In. Yes, it was perfect. I love every minute of it. But man, it was shocking as all get out that Manny Lemons, the one person I figured that was on my side, Manny, you, of all the people, you say, where's your hair? Well, my hair left with my dignity sometimes. So
I put on Mr. Q-Ball, meet your long-lost son, Chris Evans.
Yes. Look at the way he was. I mean, John has it's time for him to ride off into the sunset.
Well, I mean, so he only did the one match this entire year.
Yeah, he's too busy with movies, just like, you know, The Rock is. But The Rock is supposed to make his one appearance this year somehow. But you know what? This year has been full of controversy. Last year was full of controversy. And the one thing that was the biggest controversy of all time, and you and I have talked about this thousands of times, is a man by the name of CM Punk.
Yeah.
It was too bad that a man that had a lot of talent let his ego get in the way, and he's lost fans, he's lost friends, he's lost money. But in the long run, we can both say, because you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan.
You are not a fan. I'm not a fan. But from what we have heard and from your recordings and everything, he needed to go. Your thoughts?
Just say your name and your...
Cool. Hi, Nick Housman with Wrestling Inc.
I'll start, Nick. Show of hands. Who here fancies themselves as a journalist? You're a journalist, Nick?
All right. I try my best.
Okay. You did improv. Who'd you do improv with?
I did it with Scott Colton.
Hmm. Okay, so you fancy yourself a journalist. Would you say you're friends with Scott Colton?
No, I haven't talked to Scott in some time.
So you're not friends with him?
No, Scott and I do not see eye to eye.
Oh, wow. Well, that makes two of us. My point is, if you fancy yourself a journalist, even if it's for the silly world of professional wrestling, and you have journalistic integrity, people who report things, mostly that are bullshit and slanderous lies against myself, I haven't had anything to do with Scott Colton in almost a decade, probably wanted nothing to do with him even longer than that. It's fucking unfortunate that I have to come up here and speak on this when I'm on my time and this is a fucking business. The fact that I have to sit up here because we have irresponsible people who call themselves EVPs and couldn't fucking manage a target, and they spread lies and bullshit and put into a media that I got somebody fired when I have fuck all to do with him. Want nothing to do with him. Do not care where he works, where he doesn't work, where he eats, where he sleeps. And the fact that I have to get up here and do this in 2022 is fucking embarrassing.
Well, I've enjoyed his ring work and his mic work when he was with AEW. I enjoyed all the build up to him coming back and maybe winning his second championship against John Moxley, which he did. Mm-hmm. And I was going, you know, I've never been a huge CM Punk fan, but I even bought his T-shirt right when he came back to AEW. I have a CM Punk T-shirt, so I'm a mark. Okay, I'm a mark. But I lost a little bit of respect when he took the opportunity to hijack a press conference to air personal grievances. It was, you know, a segment after when he won the belt back, and he felt like he didn't need to answer any questions from the press that was there. And, you know, we're talking wrestling press and that, and there, you know, sometimes they can be part of the storyline, but he went so far off script that I felt bad for Tony Khan. What was Tony supposed to do? Just shut him down right then and there? Tony actually apologized for a couple of things there, and just
it was uncalled for, unprofessional, no dignity whatsoever, and he got his 5 minutes of fame again. But I'm telling you, I'm glad he's gone. No wrestling organization is going to pick him up unless they want scrutiny. And no one's going to touch him with a 10-foot pole ever again. And that's fine. If WWE decides to pick him up, more power to you. If the NWA was to pick him up, who really cares? I go away and stay away. That's all I got to say about CM Punk. Go away and stay away.
Well, at the end of the year, there was some talk about the possibility of Phil coming back. One of his very good friends is Dax Harwood of FTR, and Dax kind of in a podcast kind of opened up the possibility that CM Punk would be coming back. I called him Phil because that's his real name, and sometimes yeah. I feel like I don't even say CM Punk. So, you know, in wrestling, and I'll say this, in professional wrestling, that sometimes things business-wise can take over the personal issues. Look at how often that you thought everybody had burned bridges with Vince McMahon and the WWE, i.e. Bret Hart. And Bret Hart came back. Bruno Sammartino came back to WWE. A lot of hard feelings there with Vince McMahon. Can they work it out?
Yeah, I know.
Do you think?
But it's just amazing how this one man can suck up all this money and then turn around and basically throw the middle finger to Tony Khan and do all this, which I understand. He had grievances with Colt Cabana and all these other people. But good Lord, on a major stage like that, you're basically showing the people that Tony Khan has no control over the people that he employs.
Well, I just thought it was very unprofessional. That's my whole thing. Being a professional is very important to me. I'm not in the wrestling business, but I was, you know, in the radio business for 45 years, and things happened with my former employers, not employers. Mm-hmm. Things have also happened with coworkers that I would not discuss. Even in a forum like this, I would not give names. I would not talk about the situations because it's personal. I mean, I've had people do me wrong back in Missouri. I've had people do me wrong in Louisiana, here in Utah, and in Idaho, people that have done things to me that I was not happy about. But I don't think I can go back and say, you know, I'm going to talk about this situation and I'm going to name names. No, that's my personal business. And also I don't want to ruin that other person's professional career, by some of the things that I might say and our persons. And once again, I want to emphasize, because everyone knows I was let go from my job here in Utah, and that's fine. That's their prerogative because it is their business. They didn't like what I was doing. That's fine. Could I get on and just lamb blast them and start naming names and telling situations? I probably could, but I'm not going to. And that's why I got so angry with Phil CM Punk with his situation.
Well, it never should have happened. And I mean, it gave AEW a little bit of a black eye, but they've moved on. Phil has moved on. We don't hear anything from him. I don't know if there's ever been anything he's ever said. I can't find it yet. There's been a lot of stories, and I mean, there's another story coming out for AEW that there's fixing to be a retirement. Hopefully it's true, because he does need to retire, and that's the man called Sting.
Uh-huh.
His year in 2022 has been somewhat okay. I don't really know. I haven't really seen that much of him in AEW. I know he's, what, how old is he, 60?
63 or 64, I think. And, you know,
still going.
Yeah, he says, and, you know, he posted that he's already got things mapped out for the year. On Rampage, there was kind of setting up maybe something between he and Darby Allin, possibility.
Ooh.
And another person that's going to retire in 2023 is Dustin Rhodes.
Well, that's been another thing. And you know what? I don't mean no disrespect, but Dustin, your run in professional wrestling has been very good. You were the natural. Then your career really took off as Gold Dust. Don't get me wrong. It was good. It was a good act. It was a good promotion. And then when you came back to AEW, you could see that your time was about to come. But you know what? Dustin, it was just like Dusty, never gave up. Always, always the worker.
Always the worker, and a good worker, even at his advanced age, as far as when you're going against these younger guys, he's still put on great matches.
He's had some dream matches, and he's held many titles, and he's done everything from WCW to Florida to WWE to AEW. I think he might have been, I don't know if he was ever in Memphis or not. I don't remember him being there.
No.
I know his daddy was, but he wasn't.
Right.
I don't think so, like you said. But Dustin's been everywhere, and he's done everything, and he needs to retire and ride off into the sunset, and he needs to, because, I mean, how old is he? He's got to be in his, what, he's got to be in his 50s or 60s. So it's time, Father Time, to say, you know what, it was nice seeing you, but, you know, it's time for the younger generation to come on in and take over. We know you still love this business. But Father Time's undefeated.
Well, and he can also, you know, continue coaching. That would be great. Maybe taking on a backstage role a little bit more, let's hope so. So, as we look in, also in looking back at 2022, who was the wrestler that surprised you the most far as his development, as the way the fans react to him, and yourself, and one that you were kind of like, oh, he's good, but now you're saying, oh, yeah, I like him.
Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks, good choice.
Ricky Starks, he's come from, you know, the lower card to the NWA, and now that he's in AEW, his promotion, his promos have gotten really good. In-ring work is excellent. But, I mean, he almost had a career-ending injury, but bounced right back. But I think it was kind of funny how Ricky Starks said he didn't like the way The Rock did promos and everything. But Ricky, I have a question. How come you're acting just like he did?
Yeah.
please answer that for me. And why are you dressing like a homeless Rock sometimes? we need to talk about this. Why don't you
wear socks when you come to the ring in street clothes?
Yes, I bet you and Dr. Scholes have a very good promotion going on right now. You probably burn your shoes every time it's over with. No, Ricky's really good. I mean, his promos have gotten excellent. And I mean, he's really stepped up his game. And that's the one that I like a lot. I mean, I really think he's a standout individual.
I think it's going to be a big star. I think he is really going to. He's got nothing but upside.
He'll be a champion very soon, just like your freshly squeezed became a champion. I never thought in a million years they'd put a belt on him. But, I think Ricky Starks is really good. I think that he's starting to come out of his shell, and he's really good, very good. I mean, the promotion that he had, the promos with him and Jericho, I just sat there and just laughed at it, because, like, I'm looking at a pale version of The Rock.
Yeah.
So, I'm seeing it. I'm really seeing it.
Well, you know, when you look at Ricky Starks, you see a presence, a camera presence. And then, you know, when you compare it to The Rock, I'm going to take it back in The Rock's career when he had that role as the Scorpion King in the second Mummy movie. You know, he was, you know, had a fairly minor role in that movie. He was basically the bad guy. And I remember the story was that the producers of that movie, when they got the first dailies back, that's where they take a look at what happened the day that they filmed. And the director and the producer looked at The Rock and how he, you know, he has a presence on screen. And they said at this point, whoa, we got to do something else with this guy. And that's where the movie The Scorpion King came to be. They specifically saw The Rock and said, oh, we've got to do a little follow-up here with this young man. And, of course, The Rock, one of the biggest stars in Hollywood right now, if not the biggest with what he's been doing. So Ricky Starks has a lot of that same quality.
Well, The Rock has become one of the biggest things in the movie industry, except for his latest movie, Black Adam. It went black. They just should have had a black screen on that and said Adam on it.
I liked it.
You did?
I did.
Well, you know, the end, did you see the end of the credit where it's supposed to be, you know, Superman comes out, and that was a tease.
But I really, I enjoyed the movie. I did. I thought it was a fine, for what it was a fine movie. So, you know.
Well, I mean, The Rock is a good actor. Don't get me wrong. He's a good actor. I mean, he must act every day when he wakes up, and his storytelling on his show on NBC, you know, is really good too. I mean.
It is. That's really good.
It's really good. I mean, that's my take on Ricky Starks. I think he was excellent, but there's been a lot of things that have been going on in 2022. There's just so much that you can't hardly keep up with it.
Right.
It was crazy after, you know, the big scandals.
Yeah, you had the Vince McMahon scandal that happened, and that was one of the biggest stories of the year.
Yep, that was one of them.
But it came out good that Vince's, at least for the second half of the year, was not with WWE and their stories and their everything about WWE, to me, started improving when Vince was forced into retirement after his little dalliance into the funds.
Well, yeah, that needed to happen. We've all been saying, please, Vince, go away. We don't want to see you anymore. And I think this WrestleMania that's coming up will be the farewell for Vince. Mm-hmm. They're going to have something to do. You know, the grand poobah is going to have a something that says thank you for all the memories. And we all know what it's going to be. It's going to be this big grandstand. He'll come out to the middle of the ring, and then here comes Austin again to stun him and say goodbye. What a way to go.
But you know, as much as we've complained about Vince, I would still put him on my Mount Rushmore professional wrestling because he changed the business. And I was glad to see him go.
Number one or number two? Is he the first one on? No, number no. I'm being very serious. Is he the first face on the Mount Rushmore or the second? Because I'll put Jerry Jarrett in front of Vince.
Really?
Yeah, I would put Jerry Jarrett in front of Vince. I mean, Jerry was doing more business than like Vince did. I think that I think I'm a little bit right. Jerry was, you know, controlling a lot of his territories, and then Vince was kicking territories out of the clear blue sky, but Jerry kept holding on. I think he was a heck of an owner, just like Vince.
I do too, but
you got to remember, wasn't Jerry was the first when Vince was supposed to go to federal prison over the scandal steroids. Mm-hmm. He picked Jerry Jarrett to take over the company.
Uh-huh.
So I would, if Vince said, here, take over this company, that means tell me that Vince trusted Jerry than anybody else. So I would put Jerry Jarrett first and Vince second. But that's just me. I mean,
I will disagree with you. I would disagree.
That's like me. That's like me with hair. I frankly don't have any no more. So they are gross. So thank you, Manny. I'm gonna always. I'll send you a box of lemons. But other than that, yeah, the big scandal has had to be Vince. I mean, when that came out, we were all floored. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you know, the golden goose had to lay the silver egg this time instead of the golden egg.
Okay. I tell you what, Chris. Let's take a quick break right now. We're going to come right back with our first blooper segment for 2022. Now, just to kind of set this up, this is when we get a little bit silly, we get a little bit weird, or one of us messes up. I saved that little segment, and I put it together on the end of each podcast. So, you know, there's usually a minute, minute and a half at the end of the podcast of us being weird. And it's very, very funny. And this one we'll do kind of a whole bunch of them all together, and we're going to do this in two different segments as this podcast continues about looking back at 2022. We'll come back after the blooper segment. We'll talk with Zane about some of the things he wants to talk about, then bloopers part two, and then we'll come back with Chris and then Zane at the end. We're looking back at 2022, and we'll be back with the first blooper segment right after this on Turnbuckle Trash. DaysVoiceWorks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. Find podcasts there, like my Radio Guy Reflections podcast, where I get to talk to other radio people about their careers and what's going on in the world of radio. How about some Turnbuckle Trash? I am joined by Chris Evans and Zane Peterson. We just talk about professional wrestling. And then there's the 3W. 3W News is the weird, the wacky, and the wild news that might have escaped your everyday newscast, but we have it here on the 3W News, which is part of Radio Guy Reflections. Check out some of the celebrity interviews I've done over the years, and we have special musical salutes for different holidays, and coming soon, some comedy. It's all at daysvoiceworks.com. When you spell works, it's W-O-R-X.
Let's take out the trash.
Roger that.
No, not that kind of trash.
Not what kind of trash?
Wait, so we're not taking out the actual trash?
No, I meant it figuratively.
I spent a lot of time separating out the recyclable.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave and Chris right now. Hopefully be joined by none other than Mr. Peterson a little bit later on, as we are now getting ready for the rest of 2002, of all things. 2002 is here, and we are talking about professional wrestling. And, you know,
22.
What did I say?
2002.
I'll start that again.
You have to say what happened to the 22. Let's go backwards a little bit.
She's my spell check from in there.
You're only 20 years late.
If we were back in 2002, that means I'm remarried again. Please don't bring me back to that.
Don't want to do that. No. I was trying to do too many things at once. And it wasn't my fault, most of it.
Let's get into the DeLorean. Hurry. No.
We already got something good for next year's blooper reel, don't we? So.
There we go. Yeah. Yep, there we go. Already. 2002. I was about to say, wait a minute. Where's the other two at?
And so it begins.
And so it begins.
I'm old. What can I say?
It's all right.
Jeez.
We've already got the first. We got the first blooper for this year done. Nice.
They can't rap. You know, they couldn't rap a present. They couldn't rap a present.
I don't know. Why would you do such a thing? You should be like, oh, Chris, I promoted you. Your new official co-host, since my other co-host doesn't ever call or write or tweet or anything anymore.
Them boys don't know the meaning of the word, you know, cut it off at the pass.
Okay, no big deal. I don't care.
I mean, that looked like somebody had just drew something on his face and said, there you go.
And the ratings went.
I can stick the middle finger up to the tribal chief and tell him, there's your head of the table.
Okay, we're going to count it down. 3, 2, 1. Are you a doctor of anything, really, or
I'm the doctor of thugonomics, just like Mr. John Cena, because you can't see me because it's a podcast, and I used to work on the radio, you know?
He is a man who can resist anything but temptation.
I think the one that everybody recognizes is I actually did stunts in Dumb and Dumber.
Ooh.
So.
Kind of sounds like one of our podcasts.
So does that make it dumber and dumbest? Is that me?
You guys speak for yourself.
Zane is dumb. I'm dumber.
I even got so excited as a 10-year-old kid. I threw my popcorn at him and booed and bought into all of the hype. You know, I was one of those fans.
Climbed on top of a 12-foot ladder, stood on the top rung of the ladder where it says, "This is not a step. Don't step here. Don't do it."
A steel cup. Well, I've seen everything now.
You know, there's not a lot of 50-year-old wrestlers out there.
Except for Tombstone Jesus, right?
Yeah. But I'm not really that sorry.
Oh, we'll take it back, Zane. You are pretty sorry, man.
I know you really like the chick flick, Zane. You know, like
you know me. My heart just melts, you know.
My heart goes on. How many times do you watch Titanic? Come on.
And so that's why they're going to lay down their $29.50 for a live premiere.
Kempo.
I have a black belt in Kempo Karate under Ed Parker, who is the founder of the system.
Hmm. Wow.
I have a black belt in the manly art of fondue myself, so. Maybe there's some law enforcement officials out there who would like to know more about you, Bob.
Yeah, you're right on that one, Dave.
And I'm so jealous of his 8-year-old son, Jackson. It makes me sick.
I don't know. Why would you do such a thing? You should be like, "Oh, Chris, I promoted you. You're a new official co-host since my other co-host doesn't ever call or write or tweet or anything anymore."
That's a tough one.
And they also gave up the main event on who was going to win because they said Brock Lesnar, the champion, before the match even freaking started.
To, you know, look at the positive thing, you know.
Now we're called The View. No, I'm joking.
Look on the positive. Don't be a negative ninny.
I was a little bit nervous, but not like super duper scared.
Some guys are like all excited when their kid gets a home run. And this dad's excited when his kid's taking a friggin' clothesline. I mean, you know, that tells you how messed up I am. You know, when I see my kid give another kid a boot to the chest and then pin him for a 1, 2, 3, I'm like, yeah, that's my boy, you know.
Rekka?
Yeah.
Is she as pretty in life as she is in the ring?
Yeah.
Yes, we are a premier podcast. We are Turnbuckle Trash. Premier podcast on professional wrestling.
Yeah, that's about it.
Sounds like a winner. The WWE creative staff is really, 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 really struggling right now.
It is. And everybody, let me introduce you to the man with the wits and the skills to make you laugh, but he doesn't know how to use them. Who the heck is that guy?
He looks like he couldn't afford the whole haircut.
A fast, convenient way of keeping in touch with each other.
No, 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 no.
Oh, Lord.
I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry at all.
NXT 2.0, it should be NXT 0.2.
Just like, shut up. Go away. All I do is complain.
You got a good job, man.
I know.
And I don't get paid for this. As they said on Forrest Gump, that boy's different, Mrs. Gump.
I always like to say, Dave, I got a pretty good memory, but it's about the second shortest thing I own, so.
I'm back in the saddle again. I'm back, Dave.
Steven Tyler, you ain't my man. Joining me right now is one of my favorite people in the entire North Carolina region. No, in the entire world.
I don't know why I said that. smoke hemp or I don't know. What can we smoke? Can we smoke anything?
I'd rather smoke ribs. You put me some ribs down there with some Memphis dry rub and a little barbecue sauce on the side. Get myself a little bit of coleslaw.
It is hotter than a meth pipe on payday.
Yeah, we're just goofballs.
Yeah, that's right. I'm I'm one of them old timers.
Here we complain about the WWE on the left hand, and then we praise them on the right.
Except to look at the crowd going, hello, it's me, hello.
There's way to announce it, you moron.
The guy that, well, I don't even know what I'm trying to say here. Let me do
Dave and Zane a chance. Just to book one Raw. That's it. That's all we ask for.
Really? Yeah. Not much of anything.
So, I don't know. Was it real or was it a work or was it...
Or was it Memorex?
Money.
That's right. Money makes the world go round. And my world is pretty flat. You know what I'm talking about?
You know the WWE, if they're going to do something stupid, that's what they'll probably have it done.
I almost spit out my milk through my nose. I don't know what the heck happened.
I am busier than a termite in a sawmill, man.
No, I don't. I have no idea about your business. Paris, Tennessee got cable before Memphis did, and you got Atlanta wrestling, Georgia Championship Wrestling. I used to be so jealous of that until I moved there. So when I moved there, I was in wrestling heaven. I'll tell you that.
Count them up. No, that's the only reason why I bought it. I'm kidding.
As he says, he's outlandish.
Oh, dude, for sure.
That kid has more charisma than a damn potato chip.
And I'm like, why do I watch this? You know.
Well, you know, injuries happen, and then actually trying to make a living.
Why don't you just go ahead and set the place on fire?
They say in the business, a buttload of cash, you know?
Oh, how did you manage that? Because I didn't get anything like that. Cool. Yeah.
You know you're old when Lawler comes out and my son stands up and says, there's the guy in my video game.
I don't want to see boring, same old crap.
By Facebook. You know, and I'm talking wrestling here, you know? And that's the only thing I can put it up to, you know? Or as we like to say, the last man standing match we watch is going to be a last man standing. They say the last time they're going to wrestle, and I don't believe it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Uh-huh. I know it was you.
Sometimes me and my friends swear on the playground. It's fantastic, but like I said, I'm just lazy. Well, golly gee willikers, I mean.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Oh, by the way, I watched TV today. I saw professional wrestling, 3 hours of it. I don't like football and baseball because I think them two sports is fake.
I'm telling you right now, you come down to this ring, and I'm going to hit you in the mouth.
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
It's time to take out the trash.
A lot of my friends tell me I look like a pro wrestler, but not a good one.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton, and it is Turnbuckle Trash time. And joining me tonight is Zane O'Mac.
Do you ever wonder why somebody like Mick Foley walks around with no frickin' front tooth? It's like, dude, I'm sure he freaking made plenty of money in the WWE. I mean, and he can't go get a damn tooth. Come on, drives me crazy. I was looking on this website, and they have a big picture of Mick Foley smiling without his damn teeth.
Well, maybe he likes them. He likes that look.
Remember when we saw Mick Foley live?
Yeah, it was in Ogden, wasn't it?
Remember that? It was in Ogden. Yeah, it was at the comedy club in Ogden.
Yeah.
And, I remember. Yeah, that was, that's been almost 10 years ago.
Yeah,
it's
been a long time ago. And, this is when he was doing his stand-up. It wasn't really stand-up. It was more like just him telling stories about wrestling.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, it was.
That was so great. I remember that. That was great.
And Mark Calloway's doing the same thing now. He usually goes to cities that are getting ready to have a premium live event. And then he'll do one the night before and tie it in, and he'll do it at some big club. And yeah, it's well worth it to get some of those stories in there. It's hilarious stuff.
Well, I remember like what was the deal? I know it was like it's been a few years ago, but like Dolph Ziggler, remember one of his things? He was about ready to leave the WWE because he likes to do stand up or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
You remember
that? He does stand up comedy, and I think he still does. But remember, we were talking about him not coming back for a while. And that was because he was doing the stand-up routine. And then when he signed the contract, it came out that he was going to be kind of enhancement talent. He would still, you know, he'd still be a top-notch star. And then he would, but he would help put people over that were coming up.
So he was a high-paid jobber.
Yeah. You know, and then when he and Bobby Roode got together for that tag team and they won the titles a couple of times and feuded with people, that was a good
That was a fun tag team. Yeah, that was good.
And Bobby Roode, by the way, is going to be gone for a while because he's going to have neck fusion surgery. So who knows whether he's going to be able to come back or not. We hope he does, but he's in his 40s now. So
those guys, the things that they do, they put to risk every time they get in that ring.
Yeah, it is every time. Yeah. And that's why they do the training they do, and still things do happen, you know, so.
Yeah, well, and even just, you know, over, what do they call them? Chronic, they have a term for it, like acute and chronic. Acute is like a immediate injury, and chronic is something that happens over time, you know.
Yeah.
You take bumps for so many years, and all of a sudden, as you start getting old like Dr. Dave is.
Well, you know, like chronic pain. I know more than a little bit about chronic pain as I'm sitting here with my wrist on and my fake knee and my wrist brace and my back killing me and all that. that is all brought on by bumps and just normal wear and tear. But you do the things that they do when they're flipping over a top rope and then they have to land on people, and sometimes they don't land right. They twist their knee or bang their knee against the ground. And, I mean, we saw it with the Don on NXT in one of the matches earlier this year.
He just
came down on his knee in the ring, and he popped his knee. And then, it wasn't Elias. It was
Rick Boogs.
Yeah, Rick Boogs. When he was trying to do that move where he was putting two men on his back.
And his knee just gave out.
And he's still not back. And then you got Big E with his injury, you know, his neck injury when the throw on the ground didn't go right. And there's still talk that Big E might be able to come back, but, you know, who knows? Who knows? But, yeah, the guys, they do a lot.
Edge was out for 7 years.
Yeah,
and he was looking great. Sting took a couple of years off.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those bumps that Sting's taken in AEW are, whew. He's been put through tables and stuff.
And he's still, they don't use him a lot in the ring, but he does a lot of stuff, you know, that you would say a man of his age, it doesn't look like he's that age.
Is he pushing 60?
Oh, he's in his 60s, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah, and then by the way, today
he still looks fantastic.
Yeah, today on the Facebook there were a couple of stories about Sting in 2023 is probably going to hang it up forever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then we've also gotten word that the natural Dustin Rhodes, this is going to be his final year of competition too. So two great ones going down. So and then they say Sting has his mapped out for the rest of the year. I didn't read the article, so I can't tell you what they're going to do because I don't like reading ahead. And, you know, I want to be able to enjoy what happens, you know, whether it's a heel turn on somebody's part that attacks him or, you know, or it's just a retirement match. Or, you know, I want to be able to enjoy it. So when they say this is what's going to happen, I don't do that. I mean, that's just not.
Yeah,
something I enjoy.
That pisses me off.
Yeah,
Oh, so and so makes their return Monday night on Raw. Wow, thanks for the spoiler alert.
Thanks for the heads up a lot. You know, I just want to be able to watch the shows. You know, and if I happen to hear something ahead of time, I forget about it because I'm an old fart, and I just decide not to put too much into it. I mean, look what has happened over the past year on social media. They'll say, this is going to happen. This person is going to be coming to AEW, or that person is going to be going to WWE, and it never happens. Aleister Black is one case in point. You asked me the other day, you texted me, you said, where is Aleister Black? And what had happened, he was getting a push. Something went on in his private life, and I don't like to hear those things either. That's a private life story. You know, I don't dwell on those kind of things when it comes to wrestling. But Aleister Black wanted to take some time off, and everybody was saying he was taking time off because he was upset with Tony Khan and AEW and how they were booking, and he was going to show up back on the main roster at WWE. I mean, there were people that saying it is done, it's signed, it's going to happen next week, it's going to happen next week, it's going to happen next week. And now the House of Black is one of the biggest factions right now in AEW, and they look great. Mm-hmm. I mean, they look great. I'm a big Aleister Black fan.
I want to talk to you about something. Like, I think it was, I just read it online the other day. I think it was it Kurt Angle? No, it was Bubba Ray Dudley.
Uh-huh.
He said that if TNA had just a little more money back when, you know, like right after the WWE bought WCW and stuff.
Yeah.
He said they could be what AEW is right now. They could be a big name, second tier type promotion to the WWE.
I would agree 100%. And then they,
I wonder why do you think they went wrong? I mean, I guess, I don't know. We've talked about this before, and a lot went wrong when they lost their TV deal with Spike, and they
They went to Destination America, and then they're on Access TV
Discovery
now.
Channel or something.
Yeah, they were just all over the place. You didn't know where. And then they were moving them from night to night. And then Dixie, you know, didn't have the kind of money that the McMahons had. So she lost that contract with Spike. That was the biggie. And then I think it was a mistake when Eric Bischoff and Hulk Hogan went over and started doing some of the booking there. They kind of took over because they were – it was starting to be an old boys club. I mean, they had the Nasty Boys on there, and the Nasty Boys, they could barely move in the ring. They were so beat up and so injured. And, you know, and I'm going,
Hall and Nash showed up. And,
yeah.
And the, I mean, Nash, or Hall, that was right when he was, and this is no offense, but he looked terrible.
Yes, he did.
You know, and they were trying to promote Hall and Nash and the band getting back together and stuff. They called them the band or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. They couldn't call them NWO. Or
right.
Whatever.
And then they had the Aces and Eights, which was a great, Dudley was, you know, the Bubba Ray was involved with that. Bully Ray. He was involved with that. And, then they had, Sting and Kurt Angle. They were in a faction there for a while. And that was all going good. And then I think the thing that, to you and I think we talked about this many times with the old TNA before it became Impact Wrestling, their women's division was kicking the WWE in the teeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, back like Taryn Terrell and... Mm-hmm. And
the beautiful people.
Gail Kim.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Awesome Kong. There was a lot of Angelina Love.
Mm-hmm.
Those were good. That was a good time. I remember that. That's been so long. It's hard to believe how many years ago that's been. You know, I think that I do think back and I'm just like, oh, that was just a couple of years ago. And I start going, no, that was closer to like 7, 8 years ago.
It was.
I mean, we've been doing this. You and I have been doing this for. Is this how many years? Is this six or seven years?
I think it's six or 7 years that you and I have been doing.
Yeah,
yeah. We had,
and I know you did it for about a year before I jumped on board.
About 2 years before you jumped on board, Juice with this Ajay, and we had him hosting for about a year, year and a half, and then you came on part time with Ajay and I, and then you became the host when Ajay decided he couldn't do it anymore for his job and personal reasons. And then Then Chris jumped on board with us for a while. He's still, you know, he's still with us.
Well, and somebody who's been really involved with Devotion Championship Wrestling is Trent. What's his last name?
Trent Hunsaker. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and he was one of the ones that helped you kind of get off the ground with the podcast, wasn't he?
Or, yeah, Trent had.
I know he was a little bit involved with it.
Yeah, Trent had a comic book store that I used to go to. And then Tom was in there, Tom Sherlock, and he and I had something in common because he wasn't from Memphis, but he lived in Memphis for a while, and he and I started talking about that. And then before too long, we started talking about things that happened with craziness in Memphis wrestling, the USWA and Championship Wrestling from Memphis, whatever it was at the time. And Trent would just sit back there and laugh, and he said, "You guys are to do this kind of thing and do it as a podcast." And Trent had a small podcasting network, and he was doing podcasts for Kevin Smith, by the way, the movie director himself. I'm not sure if he's still doing that or not, because that's a busy man, Trent Hunsaker, right now.
Yeah.
But, we did it together, and then Tom decided that he didn't want to put the time and effort into it, and that's when I did a couple by myself, and Ajay jumped aboard, and all that. Yes, Trent was very instrumental in doing everything with us. So hats off to Trent.
Yeah, I know he does a lot with DCW there.
Yeah.
Their commentary, their color commentary, and a lot of their...
He does most of their video stuff.
Filming.
Yeah.
Yeah, all their videography stuff.
Yeah.
He does
a great
good
job, too.
There.
Yeah.
Oh,
he's such a great guy,
yeah, that's
too.
Yeah, you know him a lot better than I do, but I know he does a really good job on that stuff, so good. You ought to try to reach out to him.
We'll do.
Sometime and see if he wants to tell us about what it's like to, you know, because you know me, I like that behind the scenes stuff. And that's
right.
One thing that I've never really, you know, we've talked a lot about like the, you know, the setting up and the lighting and the sound and the, you know, the people, but we've scratched the surface, but we've never really discussed too much about what goes into the filming and the editing and things like that from a pre-taped and sometimes even live. They were live that one night that you watched it from Charlie Square, right?
Yeah, yeah. Their fourth anniversary show, right? Right. It was live that night,
and most of the time it's pre-taped, right?
Yes, on Fight TV, I think they do, and they also on YouTube, they have a show on there. I think most of the time it's 30 minutes. It might be an hour now since they were doing 30-minute TV tapings, or they tape and cut it into 30-minute segments and put it on TV in Salt Lake City, broadcast TV, on Sunday mornings, which I mean, I watch that religiously, religiously on Sunday, but I would tape it and always watch that one and just follow that very, very closely. Actually, one of those TV tapings was the time I did the ringside announcing for them. So that was one that was on the CW in Salt Lake City. So, yeah, I'll set that up. I'll get in touch with Trent. And
That'd be fun to talk to him to see that stuff. You know, I like that stuff.
Oh, like yeah, you do.
We kind of talked a little bit about what we want to do here is discuss a little bit of what's coming up this year and your thoughts and my thoughts, a little bit of what we thought about this last year.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you kick us off and see, you know, tell me what your thoughts were, some of your favorite things, like from this last year. What was your favorite match from this last year?
Well, I got to say my favorite match had to be WrestleMania match. The match
really?
Between the returning Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. And, I mean, we can look back and say, you know, Cody Rhodes coming from AEW over to WWE and what a great response he got from, you know, the welcome home to WWE. But then that injury happened when he was training. He tore his pec muscle and his entire side was black and blue. He could barely move his arm.
That.
Yeah, and he did a great job, but I think I even said this on the podcast right after WrestleMania. He did a great job, but boy, what a job Seth Rollins did in the ring with him. With, you know, basically a one-armed paper hanger, he, Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins put on an entertaining match, an incredible storytelling match, and it was just fun to watch. And because I am a fan of professional wrestling and then seeing how those two took a situation which could have been very negative, you know, they could have just went through the paces. No, they didn't go through the paces. They put on a great professional wrestling match at WrestleMania this year. And for that reason, that's why that's my favorite match of the year.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that that was your favorite match of the year. You know, we were discussing earlier about that, like those injuries and those things that happen. And here's a guy that tears his pectoral muscle and still gets in the ring to perform for you. Okay. For you and I, for our entertainment.
Yes.
You know, yeah. And these guys, you know, the WWE, I know that they've stepped up a lot these last few years, like guys like AJ Styles and stuff. They've been able to make some pretty decent money. And I'm sure that some of the mid-card guys, you know, that's always kind of been something that nobody really knows or nobody really discusses. It's not really public knowledge is how much these guys make. There's rumors, and you can find out rumors. Like, I think like AJ Styles makes like $800,000 a year, and John Cena was like $3 million a year or something like that. Or,
you know, in the WWE, and them those guys make some. You know, they make some bucks now. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why a lot of them, and they don't have to go through the schedule and stuff. Is you know, everybody talks about The Rock for selling out and Dave Bautista for selling out. Ooh, they quit wrestling. They're not, yeah. But good grief, those guys, they don't have to. I mean, I'm sure they still do a lot, but there probably isn't as grueling a schedule as what they had in the WWE.
No. When you talk about the travel schedule, especially when before the COVID days, and you and I have discussed this many times, you know, 365 days out of the year, and these guys at the height of the WWE before COVID, what would they be 340, 350 days a year on the road, traveling airport to airport, staying in hotels, you know, driving from one location to the next overnight, you know, staying up all night long and then training the next morning and then come and do a show. And what a grind.
Maybe every now and again, get to fly home on a weekend.
Right. Right.
I mean,
or maybe take a few days off. Yeah. It's unreal.
Yeah. It's just crazy, crazy to me. And they do it, you know, and like I said, they do it because I'm sure they do okay. And I'm sure that they have their lifestyles and stuff that they enjoy. And I'm sure that they make pretty decent money, but you know, you talk to these guys on a local level, guys like Andrew Sowell and these guys that we know personally that aren't making, I mean, they might make $100 or something for performing a night, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a big deal to them. But they're like, we do this because we love it. You know, and they love to entertain and they love to be, you know, we all look for that escape from reality for a little while. I mean, we were just talking before we went on the air of how stressful it's been with winter and you know, I do heating and air conditioning and, you know, what happens in the winter? Everybody's cold. You know, what happens in the summer? Everybody's hot. You know, and it's like nonstop all the time. It's just my phone rings all the time. And to try to find, you know, and that balance. And sometimes you just go, oh my gosh, I just want to step outside of this for a moment and experience something else. And that's what these guys are doing. You know, a lot of these guys work full-time jobs in factories or whatever they do. And they're going, oh my gosh, I just for a couple nights a month, I just let me be somebody else for a minute.
Right.
Just let me hear the crowd chanting my name.
you know, and for that's why they do it. And good for them when it grows and they get to be somebody like Manny Lemons, who is literally Manny. You know, we see him, we talk to him multiple times on the podcast. That guy works his ass off.
Oh, he does.
Like, he lives, eats, breathes, and sleeps professional wrestling. And he does whatever it takes to, you know, it's his big thing, train insane and remain the same. And I mean, like, he was always, before I left social media, he was always, you know, posting pictures of him training in the ring and training and training and training and doing anything and everything he can to get better.
And he's also working on his body, too, you know. You remember when we first saw him years ago, UCW Zero.
Yeah.
He was kind of pudgy, you know. And now he's pretty cut. He told me on the last interview we did right before the DCW show, the fourth anniversary show, that he gets up every morning, first thing he does, goes to the gym, works out, comes back, does whatever he's doing the rest of the day, and then in the evening, back to the gym. And what he's doing in between the days is, you know, he's trying to get his schedule ready to go for where he's going to be going, because I know he's going to be going back to Georgia to do some wrestling there. He's going to be doing some wrestling at Ohio Valley Wrestling. He has to book things that he does on the weekends, whether it's here in Utah or the bar fight sometimes during the middle of the week that they have. He's now living basically back in Atlanta. And then, you know, he's got his personal life going on. And once again, I'm not going to get into that. But personal life, when you're doing all this and on the road, that can be really, really stressful on a personal level.
A lot of these professional wrestlers, they get in relationships and marry other professional wrestlers so that they can have some company and companionship on the road.
Right.
You know, I'm sure it gets old. You know, I'm sure it's a good time traveling with the boys and hanging out and stuff, but I would imagine after a while you'd really have to enjoy the company you keep, or else, you know, you'd probably go crazy to be on the road with these same guys over and over again throughout the whole entire year. And it's like, but Dave, I love you, but I don't want to live with you.
I don't want to be anywhere near you for a couple of days. Well, you know, we talked about pre-COVID days, pre-pandemic, when they were traveling so much. Recently, Jim Ross on a podcast was talking about, he thought before the end of the year of the coming year, 2023, that All Elite Wrestling would start doing house shows. Now, when they're on the road, you know, they're doing a Wednesday Night Dynamite show. They're also recording the Friday Night Rampage, and that's about basically what they do most of the time. Sometimes they're doing a show on Friday night that part of it is Rampage. Now with the addition of Ring of Honor wrestlers, they've got a huge, huge stable.
Do they still do the dark?
Yes, they do.
The dark stuff?
Yeah, they do. They do a lot of stuff on that. And I saw somebody the other day, and, you know, I complain about social media, but I'm still on it because I like some of the aspects, but Jeff Jarrett was performing on AEW Dark. And they said, why in the world would you have somebody like Double J? Why would he perform on Dark? So
he must be washed up.
Yeah, he's
he
a washed,
up, washed
up. You know what my response was? He got paid.
Yeah.
That's why he did it. Holy, what do they think they're doing this out of the goodness of their heart? This is the way they pay their bills. This is the way they feed their families. Social media people, geeks.
Well, you're right, though. You're 100% right, because it's like, you idiots, you know what I'm saying? And I do it, too. I go, good hell, why is Dolph Ziggler, you know, jobbing to these guys? And he's probably like, you know, well, I get to go out there and I get to have fun. I get to do what I do and I make some money doing it. So, and if he's okay with that, I guess that's his deal. Of course, I would love to see somebody like, you know, I would love to see Dolph be the champion again and have a championship run before his time, you know, before he moves on or retires or something. But
I don't know if we'll see anything like that.
No,
I mean,
right now, he's they're setting up a little feud with Austin Theory. He's been feuding with Austin Theory, and what's that? What's his role? Is trying to build up Austin Theory. You know, they'll feud for a little bit, and it builds up Austin Theory in the fans' mind. And I have no problem with that. And, you know, you and I have talked about Dolph Ziggler many times, and one of the best workers out there. I mean, he can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I mean, I would love to, I mean, you know, guys like Dolph Ziggler to get in the ring with guys like AJ Styles, and, I mean, you know, and you know, another one is like Cesaro. I mean, there's some of these guys that are just so flipping good that it's like you could watch those guys night after night and never get old.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, some of those guys are so that good. Like, I could listen to AJ Styles on the mic and watch him wrestle, you know, time and time again, and it never gets old to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he's that good. And I mean, and then there's some guys you're just kind of like, well, like Brock Lesnar. I could give two craps right now. If I ever saw Brock Lesnar step in the ring again, I probably wouldn't lose that much sleep over it. If he didn't ever come back.
I
wouldn't care.
I don't care. He doesn't do anything for me. I mean, and I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. Thing about Brock Lesnar, they handcuffed him so much with his F5s and his German suplexes. He could do so much. Early in his career, he was doing everything, you know? And then when he comes back, Vince has him, F5, and then do, you know, seven or eight Suplex City. And he was the one that came up with Suplex City. He said that in the ring one time. The microphone picked it up, and then that became a thing, you know? So that, you know... But right now, I don't care if Brock comes back or not. If he comes back, I'll watch him, but I won't be excited about it. I mean, it won't be saying, Brock's back. Oh, I can't wait. No, I can't wait for Cody Rhodes to come back.
I agree with you 100% because there's just some people who you're like, you know, I'd love to see that guy in the ring again, you know. And even older guys, you're like Double J.
Yeah.
You know, guys like Sting, Double J. I mean, man. You know, if those two threw down right now, I'd tune into that.
Oh yeah, I mean,
you know, two. Oh, they're old and they're pros, is what they are.
They know what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, and those guys, you know, Double J, that boy has been around the business for a long time.
Since he was knee high to a grasshopper. You know,
and so that's a guy that you want in your promotion for knowledge. I mean, just sheer. When they talk about a veteran in the industry, it doesn't get much more veteran status than that.
Yeah, he was refereeing TV matches in Memphis and Nashville and Louisville. He was refereeing for his father, Jerry, when he was in his teens, kind of like Kid Ref, Manny's kid. You know, So he was brought up in the industry. He worked on his body. First time I saw him in the ring, I saw his first televised match. And I remember he comes out and he had white boots on and yellow tights. I mean, they were like Speedo, the high cut ones. And they were baggy in the backside. He looked like he weighed about 10 pounds. You know, and then you look at him now, and he is cut. I mean, this guy is in shape. So, who wouldn't want to have someone with that mind in the background and working now with with Jay Lethal and that group that he's working with in AEW now? I love it. I think it's fine. I love it.
You know, my thought is, like you were saying, was it Double, or I'm not sorry, we had Double J on my mind. Was it, who did you say said that they were going to start doing house shows?
Jim Ross was talking about the possibility
good old
of him.
Good old JR.
Good old JR.
But instead of doing, I don't know if house shows is where they need to be. Well, you know, I would say a broader audience.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get an internet streaming deal because there's so many people who are cutting the cable cord and I can't watch it. like I've tried to watch AEW, and I can catch the highlights and things like that and some of those YouTube shows and stuff, but I've caught some of the pay-per-views, you know, tail ends of the pay-per-views and stuff like that, but like I don't get to watch those,
right.
You know, and so because it's hard to get access to them, and I'd love to see not just AEW but WWE go to a Monday night streaming platform as well. I guess the big thing, like you have always talked about, is advertising and things like that. And I don't know how all that works with the streaming stuff.
But, yeah.
You know, we'll have to dig into that a little bit. And one of my hopes for 2023 is to see these, to have more access. Some of the major promotions, like the WWE has the WWE Network, and we can get NXT on there. But the Raw that they put on the WWE Network on Peacock is like a month old.
It is. And that's upsetting. I don't like
stupid.
That.
Yeah. I don't know. That doesn't do anybody any good at all. And so I catch the highlights of Raw, and you'll say, hey, check this out. Dave keeps me in the loop a lot.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dave.
So you're probably getting phone's ringing off the hook. It's Dave again.
Oh, yeah.
Another text.
No, that's what I'm like, oh, it's a text. Who is it? Oh, it's Dave. It's Dave. I always feel bad because I don't ever text you back right away.
No, you don't.
Then I get home and I go, oh, man, I forgot to call Dave.
But I understand.
So what do you think? What do you think about that? Like, so what's something that you look forward to for this next year, something that you on that type of a level, not just the wrestlers and the wrestling promotions, but on a broader spectrum, what would you say that something that you're maybe not necessarily predicting, but just something you're kind of hoping for that the promotions, these larger promotions do?
I would really like to see them get that streaming deal with HBO Max and AEW. There's been a lot of rumors about that. To me, something like an HBO Max or whether it's going to be Netflix or whatever, tying in with an AEW, whether they keep the contract with TBS and TNT and Warner, which would, you know, get them over to HBO pretty easy, but to do something to where they could do their pay-per-views, and I don't feel like I'm killing myself by shelling out $50 to watch the pay-per-view. Because, you know, I'm retired income, and I've only missed one because of a technical issue, stupid Xfinity Comcast. They couldn't get my pay-per-view to work that night. I missed one, but, you know, still, if you're putting out $9.99 a month for a streaming service, it doesn't seem like it hurts you to be able to watch the pay-per-views. Now, I say that with this in mind. With Peacock and the WWE Network, their premium live events, as they call them now, their viewership for those particular, what used to be called pay-per-views, are upwards of 40-50% than what they were as a pay-per-view. Now, does that make more money sense? But they're getting the viewership because of that.
Yeah.
And that gets their product out. And I think, you know, I don't know how the money would work out, the difference between having to deal with HBO Max for AEW, ROH, whatever they wanted to call it, and then putting their pay-per-views available on there. I would like to see that happen. Then, you know.
Oh, and I've got Hulu.
Uh-huh.
And they have SmackDown is on Hulu, but it's the chopped down version. They chop it down to an hour and a half.
Right.
And so I'm sure that the 30 minutes, you're not missing a ton, you know, but it still is annoying because you know that you're missing part of the show.
Right.
And so you're like, what did I miss? Did I miss this? So they'll cut out some promos and a couple things and backstage segments and stuff and chop it down, chop 30 minutes off of it. And
so you asked me what I would, you know, like to see. I would still like to see that development, that after Vince retired, how the storylines got better with the WWE. It got fresher, but I think their NXT product has hurt a little bit. For some reason or another, NXT is not as enjoyable as it was before. Except, I know you disagree with me on one thing. We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Now, on the AEW side, I think I even texted you this. I would like to see them get their technical issues a little tighter. I was watching the Trios match, and it was the Elite going against Death Triangle. And they've got a really cool storyline, a best-of-seven storyline going on right now. Well, here comes Pentagon out of the ring, and he goes up to the camera, and they're showing all this up, and he goes up to the camera, and you know that he's getting ready to do his no fear thing in Spanish, and I'm not going to try to speak Spanish because I can't, but, you know, he does, and the crowd goes crazy with him. Well, he starts it off in Spanish, and he's got his fingers doing his hand motion, and he gets the first words out, and they switch to something in the ring, and then I guess the director figures out that they messed up, and they switch to him, and he gets the Miro in. And the last part of it, I'm going, guys. And then later that evening, I think it was a John Moxley match. They set something up in the ring, and John or whoever he was wrestling didn't get in right position so they could get a good TV shot. And, you know, that doesn't happen on WWE. So tightening up that kind of thing, yep. I wish AEW would kind of look at that a little bit more and work at trying to make sure their TV angles are right, and then also making sure the director knows a little bit more of what's going on in the ring so he can say, well, here comes a Pentagon out, and he's getting ready to do his thing. You can see him setting it up. Yeah, and
keep that
and
camera on him.
Right. I've never done it, so I shouldn't complain, but it's a technical issue, and you know how I like technical issues.
Absolutely. When you're pouring the kind of money that the cons are into that promotion,
right,
and whether or not it's paying for itself back, I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's a good question. That would be a question of the day for somebody out there.
Right.
Are the cons making any money back AEW, or are they just sinking money into it because they have money?
Well, it could be either way. They're getting very steady ratings. They're not killing it, but, you know, they're doing fairly good in the ratings.
On the merchandise sales and things like that, I don't have any idea.
I bought a whole bunch of T-shirts from them.
So Dave put them in the black.
Yeah, I have. I even got a CM Punk shirt. By the way, I want to take a quick break here, and I want to play some of our bloopers from the past year. It's a lot of fun to listen to us being weird, we'll put in a little segment here.
Then, that's Chris, not me.
Oh yeah. So
I'm never weird.
I tell you what the best part is when I'm doing this is when you start laughing and you just get the giggles and I just leave that, let you laugh. You know, that's where I always want to embarrass you that way. So.
That's good. Embarrass away.
Okay.
Ready, cut.
We'll have a few of those bloopers coming up next here on Turnbuckle Trash.